State University of Murder. It's a Nick Hoffman mystery. It's a must read because he's a Michigan author and does good work. Presenting his latest work, You Are Lev Raphael. Good morning to you, Lev.
Yes, good morning. It's great to be back.
Yes, I love the front cover.
Yeah. Do you want to describe it to people?
Yeah, I might love as well. It too. Okay, we've got a knife that's looks like it's ready to attack the beautiful crisp apple.
Yes.
Is the knife actually getting ready to slice it, or is it to...
I don't want to give too much away. Okay. It's a mystery, right?
Right. So we don't know how...
We don't know what happens to the apple, in other words.
Ooh,
but it's about a bit more than fruit.
Yes. Who's Lev Raphael?
Well, I am... I'm a published author. I published 26 books. I'm living my life dream, being an author. I've also taught for 20 years on and off at various universities, and now I teach online at writewithoutborders.com. And those are the two things that I wanted to do since I was a little kid. I wanted to be a teacher and I wanted to be a writer. Teaching is in my DNA. My grandfather was a teacher, my mother was, and my brother has been as well. He's retired now. So it's always been a highly honored profession in my family.
Yes, and now again, teaching online, writewithoutborders.com. So.
Yes, these are one-month workshops that are designed around the needs of the people who sign up, and I don't take more than 10 participants so that everybody gets a tremendous amount of feedback.
Right.
It's something I couldn't do in a class of 25 students.
Mm-hmm. Yes, thank you for that. Here we go. Speaking of university students, the title, State University of Murder. Hey, this is what, your ninth Nick Hoffman?
It's my ninth Nick Hoffman book, yes.
Do I have to have read the first eight before
no,
I get
No, not at no, all. No, no. I write them to be independent of each other because I know some people do like to read a series from beginning to end, but some people don't care about when they pick up the characters. So they really stand by themselves. And it's an academic satire. This one is, they all are. This one has something partly ripped from the headlines because it was inspired by two women I knew at MSU who were caught up in the sexual assault crisis.
Oh, my. So, and we'll get to this, but this does involve many current topics in today's news.
Yes, it does.
Yes. So I guess just half a step back, let's just ask the general storyline. Nick Hoffman is at it again.
Yes, he's an English professor. He is from the East Coast. He loves teaching. He loves his students. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as he puts it, he's never even been mugged in New York City where he grew up. But for some reason, he ends up always encountering murder or a corpse. And once I did a reading at in a university town, and someone raised the question, well, how believable is that he finds a dead body every book? And before I could even answer it, someone at the back of the room said, kill a whole department! And I thought, okay, well, that's an idea. Let's talk about that. You know, it's a mystery. Was it believable that Jessica Fletcher, every time you invited her to a picnic or a family reunion, somebody died? No, but the mystery readers accept that as part of the bargain of opening the book.
How did you develop this character?
He was inspired by an editor of mine. I'm a child of Holocaust survivors, and I was writing really serious stuff at the beginning of my career. And my editor said, you know, you've got a good sense of humor. You should write something funny like the Nick and Nora Charles movies from the 30s. And I thought, well, the funniest environment I know is academia because there's so many crazy people in it. And there's such a split between the rhetoric of humanism and caring about students, and the reality for many schools is, you know, we're just a sports team and we want to make money. And not that there aren't good teachers everywhere, but there's plenty of room for satire. I actually was at a conference in Oxford devoted to academic mysteries, and a sociologist gave a very serious report, and he said, well, the reason why there are so many of these is that academics don't have good means of crisis resolution. And everybody cracked up there, and he looked up, and because he didn't expect it to be a laugh line, obviously. He was a serious sociologist.
Yes. Lev Raphael with us. His ninth Nick Hoffman mystery is out. I hold it in paperback, State University of Murder. Lev, again, Current topics, you mentioned the sexual assault, mass shootings in schools. We bring this up?
Yes, because Nick Hoffman survived a mass shooting.
Okay, yes. Intolerance on college campuses.
Yeah, there's, on both sides, there's some racism. There's a number of things woven into the fabric of the book. But it is also funny. It's a satire of academia.
Yeah. Do you know your ending when you start your beginning?
It depends. I usually know who's going to die. I usually know why. And I usually know how. But that's not always the case. And I also usually know who did it. But there have been times when I work my way through a mystery and I'll get to, I don't know, say chapter 4, 5, 6. And I think, I think it should be somebody else who does it. Mm-hmm. That's the great thing about a mystery is that you can go back and redo it or just change course while you're at it. At the beginning of my career, I did very specific outlines. I don't do that anymore. I just start writing. Every book is the same, whether it's a mystery or not a mystery. A door opens and I walk through. That's what I feel. And when the door opens, I walk through and I don't always know what I'm going to find, but sometimes I do. And so I'm totally open to the book taking a different course. I dream about my books. I think about them at the gym when I'm on the treadmill or in the swimming pool, And so, and ideas will come to me. And sometimes, for instance, I'll read about something in the news and I'll work that in. One of the main inspirations of this book was that I knew two women who were assaulted. And that was a pretty freaky experience for me as a bystander in this sense. Mm-hmm. My office mate at the time when I was teaching at Michigan State told me that an ex had been stalking her, broke into her apartment and beat up her and attacked her boyfriend. And she hid in the bathroom and called 911. So I asked for a description of him because I wanted to know, what if he shows up at the office? I mean, what if this is one of those people that you find out kills people on the news? And then a little while later, one of my best writing students emailed me and said that I was part of a Facebook group for that class. And she chatted me and said that she was being stalked. And she started, so my first thought was, make sure your door is locked. And it was. And I said, have you called the police? And she did. And then I to keep her calm, I was asking her questions. What's going on? Who is this? And it was the same person. And both women felt that they were badly treated by the administration and how their cases were handled. Mm-hmm. So the book is inspired in part by their feeling that their experience was not taken seriously. And that's what happens to one of the characters in the book, who also happens to be a suspect. You got to have a lot of suspects.
Yes. Do you is your teaching teaching future authors, teaching us how to write?
Yes, absolutely. I've always done that. I loved writing from second grade on. So that I started years ago, I started in ESL, English as a second language. And I'll tell you, there's nothing better for learning grammar if you don't know your grammar that well. And then I moved on to different kinds of writing, literature, and creative writing. That's been my passion in teaching is creative writing, both fiction and nonfiction. And now that I can do this online at writewithoutborders.com, I can tailor things more specifically to people, participants' individual needs. You can't really do that in a classroom in the same way. Plus, as I said before, with 25 students in a writing class, they just will not get as much feedback as they deserve. And that's unfortunate. And I don't think universities generally appreciate how different a creative writing class is from an intro to the American novel class. I mean, there really should not be 25 people in a class, a writing class. I've had 30. And
do your students, are they serious and they want to be writers? Or
oh,
is
yeah.
This,
okay. Oh, yeah, a lot of them do. Yes, a lot of them do. And I was so lucky. I had an amazing mentor in college. And she was so good. She knew I wanted to teach and she knew I wanted to write. So she had me sit on classes of hers that I wasn't taking, and then she would talk about her teaching strategy afterwards. She even showed me how she graded papers, which it's good to know that because that's a part of the business. And what she did, and she's still with me whenever I teach, she was not the kind of person who's a coach who yells at you and tears you down to build you up. That wasn't her idea. Her idea was, how can I find out what you do best and bring everything else up to that level and make you do that better?
And you trust your style?
That's my style of teaching. And, you know, if I'm ever stuck, I'll ask myself, what would Dr. Lauer say? And sometimes I call her, and we're still in touch. I'll call her and say, you know, you were with me the other day in my classroom or when I was online, because I thought, you would probably say this. And so she's my guide and inspiration decades after I graduated college.
And I imagine you look for those in either the writing field or other fields to find that mentor?
I think, yes. And I recommend to my students to find, and participants, to see if they can find a mentor. And that's why I am not against creative writing programs, master's, graduate programs, because sometimes they can be really helpful.
Is your book out for purchase?
Yes, it's available on Amazon and other platforms, and it you can pre-order it. It actually comes out Sunday, so that's not very pre.
That's great. Are you working on another?
I am always working on something. Yeah, I'm actually working on the sequel to this, because there is something that there's a surprise that comes at the end of the book, and as soon as I finished the book, I thought, wow, I need to write the next one while it's in my head. But in addition to that, I'm working on a standalone suspense novel about a woman overcoming childhood trauma, also set in Michigan. I love Michigan. You know,
because you used to live in Manhattan, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. It's an alien place for me now. My feeling about Michigan, Manhattan, is, you know, just parachute me in and then airlift me out. It's not for me anymore. I've lived in Michigan more than half my life, and the very first trip I took in Michigan was to the UP across the Mackinac Bridge.
Wow.
And it was March, and it was cold, and everything was icy, and I crossed at sunset. So the whole world, the whole universe went from white to red. And I thought, I love this state. I want to live here the rest of my life, and I want to write about it. So a lot of my books are tributes to Michigan, too.
Great. Are you doing any book signings or anything?
Not as of yet, but people can check my website for a current calendar. LevRaphael.com is my other website. That's my author website. I will be appearing at Rally of Writers in Lansing tomorrow to do a session on mystery writing.
Riley, where is it again?
Rally of Writers at LCC.
Okay. All right. The community college there.
That's the longest running writers conference in Michigan.
The dust does not settle.
No, it doesn't.
Good. I'm writing that down. All right, Lev, full circle. Again, cool cover. State University of Murder. Murder in Red Letters. A Nick Hoffman mystery. Who would you like to play Nick Hoffman in film?
Ben Whishaw. Yeah, I think he's good. He's really... my character is somebody who, as I said, he never was mugged. He never had his car stolen. He never had anyone break into his car and steal his car radio. And here he is moving to a bucolic a campus in the Midwest, and he encounters crime. So it's made him a kind of jittery. I have to say this. The series is not the kind of series where they discover a dead body, then they go off to Denny's and have breakfast, and there's no response. He has been changed by what has happened to him. It's made him a better person, but it's also made him in some ways more paranoid because, you know, he doesn't know what's going to happen next.
Read the book to do just that. Find out what happens next. State University of Murder. Lev Raphael, thanks for coming in, and we'll talk again.
Yes, it's always great to be here. Thanks, Shelley.